Welcome to Knowles Abroad, a podcast by Florida State University International Programs. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Zoe, and we're your hosts. On this podcast, we'll talk about study abroad from the perspective of the students, faculty, staff, and alumni who make it an experience worth sharing. We'll also bring you travel tips and fun facts from around the globe. Today, we'll hear from Class of 2020 graduate Chris Brethart about what it was like to work as an IP ambassador, what he gained from that experience, and how to feel at home while abroad. He also has some great advice about going outside of your comfort zone and taking the jump to study abroad, even if it seems scary. Let's jump into our conversation with Chris. Could you go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners, just telling us where home is for you and what did you study at FSU?
Sure. So my name is Chris Brethart. I am a recent FSU grad as of this past May, 2020. I used to work at IP. That is also recently over. I'm from a lot of places, but I currently live in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Weston to be specific. And when I was at FSU, I studied economics and got a minor in Italian, psychology, and business.
And where and when did you study abroad?
So I studied abroad in two places in 2017. It was my sophomore year. I studied for a summer month in July in London, England. And then I did my fall semester of my sophomore year in Florence, Italy.
What made you decide to study in two locations? We don't hear that from students a lot, but what was that decision like for you?
So originally I had been wondering, I sort of had this internal debate between doing the first year abroad program, which is, I guess, for those of you who don't know, you do your first freshman year abroad, summer, fall, spring, the whole thing. And I really wanted to do that, but I was also conflicted because I thought, I don't know, maybe I should be on campus. Go to school. So I didn't end up doing it, and I actually ended up regretting it a lot. So the next semester, I wanted to do it, and I wanted to extend it as much as possible. And I also was having, I guess you can tell I'm indecisive. I was debating between London and Florence. I wanted both because I studied Italian in high school, but I wanted to live in London because it looked so cool. So, I mean, I'm very, very, very lucky because my parents said, hey, why don't we find a way to make both of them happen? So, I mean, that's how it ended up coming about.
That's awesome. What do you think you gained from studying in two different locations?
So I think the coolest part about that is that I was in Europe for about 6 months, I think. So I didn't get to do my full year as my dreams wanted to, but I did get to do 6 months. I was there from July to December practically. So it was just kind of like this whirlwind of different places. I'd be traveling on the weekends from here to there, and I got to call a lot of different places home. London and Florence. And the cool part about that, too, is I had a little gap. I had a little gap in between my summer month and my fall semester. It was a month long gap. And instead of going home, I stayed in Europe and I decided to travel around. And that was actually one of my favorite parts about it, because I got to sort of live this independent lifestyle that I never had. I was 18. So, I mean, it was awesome just to explore the world, you know, and like I said, independently, you know, do it on my own agenda.
That's super cool. And I, for those who don't know, obviously I've worked with you before, Chris, when you were an IP ambassador. And I have always recognized that independence in you. And I'm just curious, do you think that you gained independence while you were traveling abroad? Or is that something you've always had? I'm just curious.
That's actually a great question that I think about quite a lot, actually. So, I was a bit of a shy kid. It was a bit difficult for me to break out of my shell. I moved a lot as a kid. So dealing with the culture shock at first was pretty difficult, you know. Instead of deciding to be, you know, very outgoing, trying to make as many friends as possible, I did kind of the opposite. I kind of closed off. So I recognized that in myself, and luckily I got the opportunity to say, hey, you know what? I want to break this. I want to do it. And it's like jumping into freezing water, you know, just go, you know what? I'm going to go live in Italy. That's what's going to solve it. And that's what I did, you know? And being, for instance, in a train station and you don't know the language and you're lost and you're starting to panic a little bit. You're like, oh my God, how do I ask for directions? And then you do it. And, you know, after all of those moments, you eventually start to prove to yourself, like, okay, I can do things. I can spend a month alone in Europe traveling around and not be lonely. So yeah, I definitely learned that. And I took those lessons and I still take those lessons today.
That's so awesome that you were able to gain that while you studied abroad. You mentioned earlier that London and Florence kind of became like your home while you were there. So I'm curious how you went from feeling like, you know, that discomfort at the beginning to then coming back and being able to reflect and say that it was like being home.
You mean the discomfort in the beginning of being there?
Yeah, like the discomfort of being, you know, going abroad and having to deal with the culture shock and things like that. But then when you come back, you look back and think, no, it felt like home when I was there.
So I think going into it with the right mentality is important. Going into it going, you know what, I want to be uncomfortable. I want to have these culture shocks. I'm curious. So when you look at it that way, it's like, oh my God, yeah, I had a really uncomfortable moment at the train station today. I had to ask for directions. That's good. That's what will get me where I want to be, into the zone of comfort. So, you know, even though I was uncomfortable, that was always expected. I wasn't shunning it away. I wasn't, oh my God, I'm uncomfortable. It was a good thing. I was like, yes, yes, great. So, and like I said earlier, I've moved from country to country before. I was born in Costa Rica, raised in Guatemala, Mexico, went to the United States. So I was sort of familiar with the process of when you move to a new home, you have initial discomfort, but that's just part of the whole thing. It's, you can't take it out of the package.
So moving forward a little bit, after your study abroad experience, you've already mentioned you were an IP ambassador. Can you tell us why you decided to apply to become an IP ambassador and a little bit about what that experience was like for you?
Sure. So that was probably, apart from studying abroad, it was definitely my favorite part of being in college, the job that I had. I've worked a lot of different jobs, but this was one that I was legitimately just very satisfied with, excited about. And yeah, I mean, it was very rewarding. So I guess the motivation behind it was I got the speeches that I ended up giving, the talks, informing me about studying abroad. And they were the ones that eventually convinced me to do it. So I was always, I always admired the people talking, you know. I'm like, oh my God, this person's talking in front of 130 people and they're informing me, they're making me laugh, this and that. I wanted to be like that and I wanted to see if I was capable of doing it. So that was my motivation and I got the job, thank God. And yeah, it really helped me. Like I said earlier, I used to be a bit shy. So once you have to talk in front of 200 people, 90 people, 30 people, sometimes they're paying attention, sometimes they're not. I don't know, it kind of forces you a bit out of your shell. So I definitely learned how to approach people more, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's such a cool thing about a job like an IP ambassador. You get that public speaking experience that isn't super common in a lot of jobs, especially like jobs on campus and things like that. So I'm curious, do you think that that experience will help you in your future endeavors, whether it's career, personal, or otherwise?
Definitely. I don't know. I always had an inclination towards public speaking, an interest. I always wanted to get good at it. So when that job came up, I was like, this is perfect. This is going to train me for kind of, I don't really know what I want to do in terms of my career yet. I did just graduate, but I know that speaking to crowds is something that I want that to be a part of. So this was the perfect training for that, whatever it may be.
So just kind of a fun question, but going back to your time abroad, what was your favorite thing about living in London and Florence?
Ooh, okay. In London, favorite thing, So something I really like to brag about that, by the way, no one really seems to care. No one really seems to be interested. When I would say this in the speeches, it would be like the joke that always fell flat, but I always had to put it in because I cared about it so much, is that a block away from the study center where you live, which is in downtown, right in the middle of everything, is the first ever YMCA in the world. Right. And I go to the Y back home in Fort Lauderdale. So I was there and it was the first YMCA and they gave me the student discount and it had a chapel. It had a church in it. And I think it was the first steam room I ever went into or something like that. And I went like every day. I was fascinated. It was the coolest thing ever. It was like underground. And that was something that I looked forward to every day. I was like, oh, my God, I get to go to the Y. Yes. I love that. And then there's a bunch of other things. I mean, specifically that you're right in the middle of the city. So that's London. When it comes to Florence, no doubt about it, there is a restaurant right by where you take classes, where your study center is. It was called Pizzicheria. And in Florence, they give you these vouchers. I don't know if y'all have talked about it before, but it's like €5, €5. And it gets you a pretty decent meal in a lot of places that the school is partnered with. So I just went here once and you go in and, you know, there's these, it's like an ice cream store, but instead of ice cream flavors, it's different pastas and different little side dishes. And the guy, Valentino, was the kindest man on earth. He was amazing. So I quickly became a regular. It was my favorite place to go. And I would walk in, I'd go, Valentino. And he'd go, ciao, Cristoforo. And I felt like I was in Cheers, where everybody knows your name. And it was just so fun. Sometimes my friend that I always went with wouldn't come with me. And I would sit with the regulars and talk with them a little bit about their life. And I remember the craziest part was one time I made a joke. And making a joke in a foreign language is really hard. But people laughed. I was like, oh, my God, yes. And then this random guy I had never met before in my life. So like, oh, that was nice, Chris. I was like, what? How do you know my name? And that's when I fell at home. And every meal there was amazing. Every single meal there was amazing. And my Facebook profile picture for a long time was me behind the counter with a giant salami in my hand. Just going, yeah. So, yeah, that was my favorite part of Florence. Every single afternoon, I would find myself in that restaurant.
That's great. I imagine you like going back sometime in the future and just being this like amazing reunion. I hope you get to experience that because I imagine that those people absolutely remember you. You are certainly memorable. So I'm sure that it would be a fun and exciting homecoming.
Yeah. The cool thing is this guy has a picture album of his regulars. So he takes your picture, prints it, and puts it in the album. So he has like, it dates back years. So yeah, that's like, I dream of going back. I dream of going back. So it would be amazing. The food definitely in Florence is just out of this world.
Well, we hope you get to go back someday.
Hopefully soon. Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, that is all the questions we have for you, but I want to give you one more opportunity. I mean, you studied abroad in two locations, you worked in the IP office, you are now an FSU alum, and I want to give you the opportunity for like some like final parting words to IP or to students that are interested in studying abroad, like with all of your wisdom, what would you tell students who are interested in studying abroad?
That's a big question. Definitely, it may seem scary, but it's good because it's scary. And if you're ever sort of in a rut, like I was before leaving, first year of college was a bit difficult. If you're ever in a rut and you feel like, I don't know, there's not enough opportunities out there, the world isn't really offering you enough, it's not as exciting, it's probably because you haven't seen enough of the world. So if you're ever kind of down, take a trip, go somewhere, live. Things become more vivid when you go to the other side of the world. Even going to the supermarket, going to the train station, seeing roofs and architecture and streets and smells. It's all much more intense and it makes you really grateful to be on the planet. So definitely, yeah, go for it. Take the jump, especially if it's scary. The more scary it is to you, the more important it needs to be. The more important it is. Sorry.
That's beautiful. That's great advice. Sometimes we just need to widen our perspective a little bit to get a better view of what we think we're looking at.
Yeah. Thank you so much for reaching out. This was a great time.
Thank you.
Before we disembark, we want to talk more about culture shock. Culture shock has been widely studied, and there are many ways to name the stages, but today we're going to talk about the five stages of culture shock: honeymoon, frustration, adjustment, adaptation, and reentry. Maybe in your own travels, you have experienced some of the feelings of culture shock, but didn't know quite how to explain it. We hope this will help.
The first stage is the honeymoon stage. Soon after you arrive in a new country, just beginning to take in the sights, sounds, and smells, everything seems exciting and new. Next, you may move into the frustration stage, where the novelty of the newness has worn off, and you might experience some frustration or anxiety when navigating or finding something to order at a restaurant. This stage won't last forever, though. The adjustment stage allows you to create a routine or find a comfortable familiarity with life in your host country. Next, the adaptation stage may bring a sense of belonging and home as you've adapted to your new way of life. The final stage comes when it's time to head home after the experience of a lifetime. You will have likely changed in some ways through your experience abroad, and the places and people you're returning to may feel different than before. This can lead to feelings of re-entry shock. Luckily, you have already experienced this process and are hopefully prepared to readjust to life at home, while integrating all of your new perspective and experiences, of course. Now that you know about culture shock, it's important to remember that it is normal, and you should still get out there and explore. We have linked an article on our blog and in the show notes that has some great advice for managing culture shock. If you're enjoying our podcast, be sure to tell a friend and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Visit our blog, knowlesabroad.international.fsu.edu/podcast, for show notes and photos. For today's episode, we'll be posting a photo of Chris with the Italian salami, so be sure to check it out. Join us for our next episode, where we talk to Dr. Whitney Bendek about what it's like to teach abroad in London and in Prague, and the benefits of study abroad for faculty and students.
Any student who's interested in study abroad, I absolutely say, do it. It will change their life no matter what experience it is that they're having. It's so worth it.
Thanks again to Chris for joining us today, and to all of our wonderful listeners. This podcast is a production of FSU International Programs. The music for this podcast was composed by John Bartman. Our logo was designed by Vanessa Gire. Editing, transcription, and research is done by us, Zoe Crook and Hannah Meister.